Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today. It's going to be an already incredible morning. I go from one boss to another boss. I've got both my Jackos my boss now. And isn't he amazing just to be able to hear the word of God and healing? We've had such an amazing morning with Brad. Where are you, Brad? Such a great next step story. But this morning, I feel like the Holy Spirit is going to do some heart work. You must like go, oh no, it's not her again. I'm either going to cry or she's going to talk about my heart, right? You had Saundi last week. Now you got me this week. It's okay. But I feel like God is doing things in the heart of our church through this consecration campaign and at conference. And as I was preparing for this message, we are upside down kingdom. And when we're talking about the kingdom, kingdom people aren't just rules and regulations. Kingdom people are motivated by a heart after Christ. We don't just attend church to tick a box. We attend church because we adore the community of God. We don't just come here to do another thing so that when we stand before Jesus, we've got a list of, I did this, I did this, I did this. I had a vision in 8:30 service as I was worshiping, and I was standing before Jesus and I was like, giving him my doctorate and my, and I preach and I do this. And I was like, and he was proud of those things, but he went and he moved them to the side. And then he leaned in and he just put his hand on my heart. And he said, this is what I'm going after. So this morning, as we talk about upside down kingdom, I am going to talk about your heart. Because it's not about rules and regulations. It's not about everything that we're doing for Christ. It's about, do you know him and know him even further? Before I do that, I have a word for Mark Kelsey, which is so embarrassing. I was like, that's not happening, Lord. This is my boss here. And you know when you're like, you know, been an EA for Mark for 12 years. Can you just bear with me, church? Let's just pray. Mark, I was in worship and I saw this. And I say this to you as someone who has worked beside you and Bernie and adore you with all my heart. And I saw God giving you a new season. Express wasn't it. You thought it was. It was a good end, but it wasn't. And he had to take it away from you. And I see you like a little boy, and Jesus, this is the only way that Jesus can get things out of your hand, because you're so determined. When you focus on something, it's all in. It's attention, it's detail, it's structure. And I see him, he was coming up to you and he removed Express from you, and you were like, are you kidding me? No way. It was almost like this heart moment of, are you serious? This is what you're doing? And he said, but I've got to take this out of your hand so that you can see what's next, because it's far greater for you and Bernie. It's far greater. It's not just here. It's not just C3. It's global. C3 is too small for you and Bernie. Sorry, but C3 is too small. What you see, what you hear, what you do in services is so dynamic and so needed in the body of Christ that he's going to launch you and Bernie into a new ministry. So as you just wait in this time of healing, I know it's healing for a time with you and Bernie, but as you wait, I know that God's going to give you a fresh vision. So let's just pray for Mark and Bernie right now. We thank you, Father God, for the pillars of this house. We thank you, Lord, that they have established things in this house that we are standing upon. We thank you, Father, for that season that they're in right now, that it seems like a season of taking away. It seems like it ended too abruptly. It was ripped out of your hands, but God is going to restore and multiply the work of your hands, both of you. I see you going to nations and beyond. I see you in Singapore. I see you in places that you've never even dreamt of. Express was a small part of it, but he was not the end. There is so much greater, so much more. There is fresh anointing over both of you to lead the body of Christ into the new day. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. Amen. Awesome. Okay, I'm aware of the time. God is so good. Have a seat, guys. We're going to be in Matthew. I'm going to nerd out today. It's my last preach for the year. I do need to explain why that is. I do this with fear and trembling as well. I got into a Bible conference in San Diego with my thesis. So I'm about to present my thesis at a Bible conference. I'm terrified, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be presenting my thesis to those people who write the commentaries on Revelation. So pray for me. I said to the Lord, are you serious? And I said, okay, I'll just put it in. And I got in three times and you're only allowed to do twice. So the favor of God. So that's why I am the preaching my last preach, but I'm super excited about this. Thank you, band. Matthew is this incredible book. And what I want to talk about today is kingdom character. Because I think kingdom people aren't just people of principles. We aren't just people who do certain things. We have an inside character. I have to say, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen, TYB Bibles on laps of all the youth. I'm so proud of you guys bringing your Bibles to church. Bring back the Bible. So we are talking about Matthew 5, 21 to 28, and I'm actually going to sit in these chunks. When you read Matthew as a book, when you read it not just as selections of verses, but as a book, he has a lot of patterns. And what it is these five teaching sessions, discourses, campaigns, for example, and he groups these five teaching sessions together, and what we are in is the teaching session of the Sermon on the Mount. Sometimes you think the Sermon on the Mount is only the Beatitudes that we've just been through, the attitudes to be. They're not about salvation. They are about, as part of the kingdom, how do I now act? But it's not just that. It continues on. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 21 to 48. Go there in your Bibles or on your phones, because I'm going to jump around a little bit and I'm going to pull out the pattern of you have heard, but I tell you. What Jesus is doing is setting a line in the sand in relation to law, in relation to how we act, and in relation to our motivation, our character. You have heard to do this, but I tell you, there's this moment. So let's read it. In verse 21, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. That's in Exodus 20:13. So he's talking about Mosaic law. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. That's much harder. Anyone else? I'm like, okay, could we stick with the first one actually? 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. I think at this point, he probably lost 50% of his congregation. The Sermon on the Mount became a connect group at that point. 31. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery. He's talking about heart. 33, can you see the patterns? You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem. Two more. 38, you have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek. I'm sorry, this one, he's lost me. I'm gone. I'm a justice person. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If someone punches me, I'm not going to turn the other cheek. I'm going to punch them back. No, I'm not, in Jesus' name. Sound very violent when I'm up here. Forgive me, Lord. Verse 43, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's crazy, right? Love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He's taking a law, something that was abided by, something that we just did, something that was what actions I'm doing, and saying, I don't care about what you do. What I care about is your heart. He's saying, I don't want you to just hate your enemy. He said, I actually want you to forgive them, love them, and then pray for them. It is a much harder thing that he's calling us to. In verse 48, he finishes with the ridiculous statement, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Has anyone read this and gone, are you kidding me? This is where you kind of leave your Bible and go, this is just way too hard. But there's a reason that he's doing this. And if you geek with me for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to show you what he's doing. Matthew and the Gospel of Matthew is the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Malachi prophesies into it, 400 years gap. And then we have Matthew as this kind of bridgeway. So in Matthew, you're going to hear a lot of Old Testament text. You're going to hear Isaiah. You're going to hear this. But what you are actually going to hear over and over again is the word fulfilled. I am an absolute geek with stamps. Anyone else? I love my stamps. Mark used to go into my office and I'd be like, a drawer full of stamps. He'd be like, could you pay this? Yes, and I'll put paid stamp on it when I do it. I'm like an Office Works geek. Anyone? Come on, who loves your stamps? I imagine Christ in this moment in the book of Matthew, and he's thinking about the Mosaic law, and he's thinking about 200 years of tradition, and he's thinking about what was actually set by God back then. And every time he does something, his holy stamp comes out, and he goes, fulfilled. That's done. That law, done. That law, done. It actually starts with, in Matthew 7, 28 to 29, this is the finish of the sermon. Actually, I'm going to go back. Matthew 5, 17 says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. He's not saying, I've changed my mind. He's not saying, oh, forget that. That was an old way of doing things. I love change and I'm just going. No, he's not saying I've changed my mind. What he's saying is that is done. It's fulfilled. It's finished. And in Matthew 7, 28 to 29, this is how I know that the Sermon of the Mount goes all the way through to this last point. He says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So I started nerding out about this and I realized what was happening. What he's doing in the Sermon on the Mount is replacing Mount Sinai. What was a mountain of judgment, what was a mountain of fear, what was a mountain of rules and regulations, what was a mountain of, oh my gosh, I don't even want to go up there because I'm terrified. A new Moses has come and his name is Jesus Christ. And he's not just God on a mountain, he's God with us, preaching to us, coming down and saying, you can't do it without me. And now I'm setting a new law. And what I'm coming after is not your head, but your heart. What I'm coming after is not a ticker box religion that says, I have to do this to get peace and I have to do this to be saved. And he said, that's not what I want anymore. What I want is you. What I want is your heart. So that when you are thinking angry thoughts or angry things, then forgiveness comes in and you can act the way he's saying because he's going to give you the power in the cross of Jesus Christ to be able to do this. In Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 19, Moses himself prophesies Jesus, the new teacher of Israel. It's kind of cool. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see his great fire anymore, or we will die. That's a scary prayer. Anyone? That you're so terrified of a God who is so religious, so terrified of a God whose rules and regulations almost, that you just don't want anything to do. The world thinks that's what we are. The world thinks we're rules and regulations, but the thing about us as Christians is it's relationship, not religion. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. It's super nerdy and it's super fun, but if you actually want to have a look at the Matthew Gospel, it actually parallels the Pentateuch and replaces it. It's the five discourses of the five books of the Bible. What does that mean? Jesus Christ is replacing the Mosaic law, fulfilling it and saying there's something new. What is God saying to you? Ezekiel 36, 26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The thing about Matthew and the thing about you have heard but I tell you is it's not about rules and regulations anymore. It's about a relationship with Christ. Can I ask you, what's your motivation to come to church? Is it to tick a box and say, I went to church today and you feel really good at 12 o'clock because you've done it? Or is it because you're so passionate about the kingdom of God that you can't help but be here? What's your relationship with prayer like? Do you pray because you tick a box in the morning and Christians pray? Or do you miss him so much that you're desperate to get up and talk to him? It was funny, I was PhDing the other day and I was in study mode and I'm just caught in books, anyone. It's like books after books and I'm reading and I started to read about, I'm doing the Revelation 19, the vision of Christ with eyes of blazing fire, and I was like, oh my gosh, and I was analysing the words I, and it's crazy. And then he said, stop. And I was like, what? And he said, that's me. And you haven't spoken to me for 2 weeks. And I realized that I'd been so caught in doing it and so caught in busyness and so caught in the things that I forgot to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pulled out, sat down, and just me and Jesus time. Don't you love me and Jesus time? And I just cried as I do, and I just prayed, and I fell in love with him again. And I'm like, you've got great hair. No, because I was just studying the hair of fire, you know, eyes of blazing fire. And I'm like, and then I just started to imagine that Jesus coming back for real, not a text, not a thesis, for real. And I started to imagine my heart, and I said, is my heart going to be excited when I see him? Am I going to be overawed when I see my best friend coming back on a horse? Or is he rules and regulations that I have no relationship with? In these texts of you have heard, but I tell you, they seem much harder than the ones, the Mosaic law. But what he's saying to you is, I am going to anoint you to do this, not out of a Pharisaical relationship, but out of a relationship of heart. So what does this mean to us? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. It's funny, Kerry has started a new job and she's the new girl on the block, so she didn't really kind of want to offend everybody in the first day, anyone? And but the first day they decided to have a chat about religion. And Kerry was like sitting there, the new kid on the block, and Kerry's, you know, pretty introverted and quiet, and she just sat there for 20 minutes while they talked about the different religions and how great they all were. And Buddhists have this, and Hindu has this, and Catholics have this, and Christians are a book of rules, and just kept going. And this guy said to this team, he said, I've figured it out, religion, I've figured it out. He said, I know what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to put all the rules and regulations of every religion into AI and I'm going to make them cull them down to 10 points. I'm going to do that and I'm going to get into heaven. Sounds good, right? If we are based in rules. Kerry came home and was heartbroken. And I said, why is it? What is it that's got you? And she said, Christianity isn't rules. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. They've missed the point. It's not about what you do, tick a box, I attend Connect Group. That's not what he wants. He's moving our hand aside, church, and saying, I want you. Don't just follow me with tick a box rules and don't bare your heart. I want you. If we were here today and we had a, you have heard, but I tell you, what would it be? You have heard, just read the Bible, but I tell you, fall in love with the God of the Bible. You have heard, just come to church on Sunday, but I tell you, be so passionate about church on Sunday and the expansion of the kingdom of God that you get so excited about being here that you're bringing people with you. You have heard to evangelize, but I tell you that your passion within you burns so much that I can't stop preaching Jesus. That goes from, you have heard rules and regulations, but I tell you, I want you. I want your heart. In Matthew 5:48, actually, I'm going to jump, go back to Matthew 23:27-28. Let me share something with you. I was at conference, as you all know. It was amazing. I share this very lightly. And I looked fine on the outside, right? Yes. Please say yes. My fly, yep, I'm good. I preached once with my fly undone the whole time. Yep. God humbles me in all sorts of ways. I got off the stage and one of my college students came up and she said, "Your fly is undone." I'm like, "Oh Lord, thank you." Humbled. But I looked fine on the outside. On the inside, I have been battling panic attacks and anxiety attacks for 3 years. Not just anxiety. I'm an anxious person, but panic attacks, full-blown panic attacks. One time I went to preach in Melbourne and the panic attack was so bad that I ended up in a back alley and against a wall, just, I was calling Kerry and I'm like, I think I need to go to hospital, I can't breathe. I got up and preached and everything was fine. Form of godliness, you know. On the outside I looked fine, but on the inside my heart was just shattered. At conference, I was kind of thinking about this message coming up. In conference, God said to me, "Enough with the look." And I was like, "I'm in the second row behind Steve Burgess. Do not do this right now." He's like, "Enough with the look." And I remembered this scripture to the Pharisees. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." That's a good scripture to get right. And I just sat down and he said, "I want your heart, Katie. I don't want this performance, I want you." And he said, "And you in there is broken right now." So when Pastor Al did that call for anyone who had the spirit of fear, I was like, "Yes, that is me." And I sat down there and Amanda turned around and she laid her hands on me and she said, "I see one word," and she prophesied this one word into me. She goes, "I don't even know what this word means." And she prophesied and I went straight back to the place that the anxiety came in. And I howled and cried and snotted everywhere. You know those moments where I'm like, this is happening and I don't care. This is the heart surgery that I've been waiting for 3 years because I am sick and tired of having this anxiety in my heart because I want to be led by heart. I don't want to be rules and regulations. I want to come to church and beat for this house. And that means I've got to cleanse my heart and get any discouragement or offense or anything out. I want to look at people out there and say they desperately need Jesus, which means I've got to get my heart ready. I've got to be so in love with Jesus that I want him and to share him to everyone around me. So I had heart surgery down there and I came up after that heart surgery looking like an absolute mess. Amanda said, "You're okay. You've got really puffy eyes, but you look fine." I'm like, "Thank you." Saturday morning, I wake up, church, and I'm healed. I wake up happy. I'm laughing. I was like walking through the city, and normally I'm walking through the city ready to punch someone because I'm in that, you know, I'm like, "Ah, yeah." And I was walking through, I'm whistling, you know, I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." Carrie's like, "Are you singing?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm singing." Oh my gosh. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ has come to set us free and take a heart of stone into a heart of flesh because that's what kingdom people are. Kingdom people aren't motivated by just rules and regulations. That's religion. We don't want that. We are motivated by a relationship with Christ that transforms our heart. That's what Christianity is. And let me tell you, that world out there, they need to know it. We are not a system of rules. We are not a system of to-dos and don't do's. We are a relationship with Jesus Christ that can set you free. And as we're passionate about that, as we're getting on fire for that, so will they. So Matthew 5:48, as we finish, and this is, I'll get the band up. This is this crazy scripture at the end. "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Perfect here means whole, complete, mature. It can't be perfect in rules and regulations because that would reverse the text. Can you hear me? You can't be perfect. "Oh, I've got to do everything perfectly." If you are living a Christianity based on perfection of rules and regulations, get set free today because that's not what he wants. He doesn't want you working hard and slogging. Romans says, it's not by works of the law that we are saved. It's by grace and faith through Jesus Christ alone. If you are a natural perfectionist, don't put that on Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, Lord, I missed a prayer meeting this week, so you must be really angry with me. That's rules and regulations. That's not my Jesus. Oh, I didn't go to church this week, so you must be... No. Christ says here, be whole as your heavenly Father is whole. I shared this in the 8:30 service. And I share it tentatively again here. I am in the book of Revelation every day. I'm in end times every day. I am in all sorts of things, crazy things every day. And do you know what my heart is burning for the more I read it? My heart is burning for the church to stop being distracted and get ready and preach the gospel. You know what my heart is burning for when I read this? There's two things that are going to happen at the end. People are going to go to heaven and people are going to go to hell. And if we are so distracted by fear and the things that we don't understand, God is calling his church again to look at me, look at Christ, get a renewed heart. Because let me tell you, that world out there needs a powerful church. That world out there needs a church that will see Jesus Christ set the captives free. That world out there needs a church that says, he's coming back. Let me tell you about him. I was reading the text the other day and Jesus said to me, do your family know when he comes back, when Jesus comes back? Will they say, I know that guy because Katie has been bothering me about him the whole time? Or will they say, I don't know who that is? Church, it's up to us. Now times are coming to get our focus on evangelizing, to get our focus on preaching the good news. This, we have to get passionate about this. Hear me, church. I've gone off script. If it's rules and regulations, tick a box, you're okay, but they're not. Hear my heart. When that trumpet sounds and Jesus comes back, picture it. When that trumpet sounds and Jesus Christ comes back, he doesn't care about your rules, your regulations, how many times you attended church. That's beautiful and he adores all of that. But what he wants to know is, do you know him? One. Do they know him? Two. As I was praying over this, God said to me, your dad doesn't know that Jesus yet. Holy Spirit, he wants your heart this morning. He wants your heart to refresh your heart for evangelism, to refresh your heart for the church of God, to refresh your heart for him.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.